Yeah, I don't know if you guys know, but I am Matt Spinks's replacement guy, aka Fall Guy.
Well, he's out of town, along with Paul Wenskowski. Oh yeah. Yeah. We're here to host and enjoy whoa, the presence of God in each other, and just here to really just look at Jesus and what he's done. And hopefully you guys won't, whoa, notice the party drop at all. The party should stay at the same level because it's the same persons, whoa, that maintain the party. And that's not our fault. That's not our fault at all. Whoa. 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 So, yeah. Oh, and Paul's here. Oh, my buddy Paul. Let's see if we can introduce Paul. This is our partner in crime, Mr. Paul Wenskowski.
Hello, hello.
Yeah, Paul and I did a lot of Hebrew studies together. And then we've also done a lot of prayer meetings. I don't know if you guys were part of the prayer meetings that kind of came slightly before Jubilee Online Church, but we did a ton of prayer meetings together. Whoa. Paul,
Yes.
he's a real drunkard. He's kind of a one of those guys who likes to really party hard. Whoa. Party hard too. He's both a party hard guy and a study hard guy, like in one package. That's what I like about Paul. We're gonna enjoy each other's company. Hey Paul, do you want to do the contemplative stuff? Would you like to open that up?
Sure.
Would you like to be the presenter? Is that okay?
Oh, I'd love to. Would you like me to share, or are you going to share a screen and all of that?
Oh, would you be the share screen guy? Is that possible? I'm on a iPad and I'm severely scared that it's gonna work poorly.
Okay, let me pull it up.
Yeah.
We made a little presentation just for the visual aids. I like to see things. Makes it easier. It gets us all on the same page. Plus, it's a lot of fun. Maddie B put this together for us. And it's not your standard presentation. It's more like a fun one, a drunk one. Okay, let me pull up everything and share screen, and we will get started. Jubilee keynote. Perfect. Everyone should be seeing things, right?
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, let me press play. Oh, now you should be seeing it even more better, if that's a word. Awesome. And you should be able to see my face still, and hopefully the presentation. Okay, perfect. Thank you, Andrew, for the thumbs up. Oh, shaka daka donge. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord God, we just pray right now that you would help us through this, Father, that you would father us through it, that your will would be done through our time together, and that it would honor your Son as you have. You have given all honor to your Son, and we join you in that, Father, as we adore, praise, and glorify you, Jesus Christ, our God and our King. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for the bond of love that we share with our Abba and our big brother Jesus. And we thank you that you're always with us, no matter where we find ourselves in this life or the next, that you will never let us go with your loving embrace within the Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for everyone gathered here today. We just pray for Maddie B and I to be able to deliver this message clearly, that there would be fruit abounding and virtue being passed. And that we also pray for Matt and Katie Spinks during their time in Nepal, as they're traveling. We pray for safe travels for their family and everyone that's meeting them out there. We pray that there would be good soil for them to sow into, as we know there is, for wherever there are children, the sick, the needy, and the poor, there is always good soil to plant seeds. And we thank you for them answering the call. And we give you all the praise and glory in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. If you would like to give to help support them and this mission, this gathering we have tonight at Jubilee Online Church, and also what they're doing out there in Nepal, you can always visit thefirehouseprojects.com/donate. Monthly partnerships are the best, because then they can plan accordingly their trips and expenses to be able to really do the impact that they do on a monthly basis. So appreciate all of you guys helping out there. Let's get into this. Good news. Good news. Wow. I love that it's good news. We're talking about Papa God today. Abba God. I'm just going to lead us in some contemplative readings as we ponder these mysteries of our Holy Father who art in heaven. First reading tonight is going to be from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Long ago, and at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. He upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Shum dum 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 dum. Bom 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 bom. Hey 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 hey. Whoa, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. I love that. I love that. Our next reading going to be from the Hebrews Bible. Or sorry, the Message Bible in Hebrews. Going through a long line of prophets, God has been addressing our ancestors in different ways for centuries. Recently, he spoke to us directly through his Son. By his Son, God created the world in the beginning, and it will all belong to the Son at the end. This Son perfectly mirrors God and is stamped with God's nature. He holds everything together by what he says. Powerful words. After he finished the sacrifice for sins, the Son took his honored place high in the heavens, right alongside God, far higher than any angel in rank and rule. Shaka ding, ding dong. Shim bim bim bum bum. What else do we got here? Oh, drunk slides. Drunk slides are drunk. Oh. Holy Spirit, just keep mediating us the truth of the Son as we read these scriptures. Let us see the living words and the living person in whom they proclaim the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I'm going to read from the Passion Translation, 1 John 3:1. Look with wonder at the depth of the Father's marvelous love that he has lavished on us. He has called us and made us his very own beloved children. The reason the world doesn't recognize who we are is that they didn't recognize him. My sheep, this is John 10 from the Message. My sheep recognize my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them real and eternal life. They are protected from the destroyer for good. No one can steal them from out of my hand. The Father who put them under my care is so much greater than the destroyer and thief. No one could ever get them away from him. I and the Father are one heart and mind. Whoa, 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 whoa. Yeah, 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 yeah. We are beloved children of a Father who marvelously made us in love. We hear his voice. We follow him in Jesus, who has protected us from the destroyer. Let us move into Romans 8 from the Voice. So what should we say about all of this? Good one, Paul. Good question. If God is on our side, tell me, whom should we fear? If he did not spare his own son, but handed him over on our account, then don't you think that he will graciously give us all things with him? Can anyone be so bold as to level a charge against God's chosen? Especially since God's not guilty verdict is already declared. Who has the authority to condemn? Jesus, the anointed who died. But more importantly, who conquered death when he was raised to sit at the right hand of God, where he pleads on our behalf. So who can separate us? What can come between us and the love of God's anointed? Can troubles, hardships, persecution, hunger, poverty, danger, or even death? The answer is absolutely nothing. Oh, that is good news right there. Wow.
I do these three?
Yes.
Okay. This is kind of the Our Father prayer reimagined. Our Father in heaven, reveal who you are. Set the world right. Do what's best, as above, so below. Keep us alive with 3 square meals. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others. Keep us safe with ourselves and the devil. You're in charge. You can do anything you want. You're a blazing beauty. Yes. Yes, yes. That's the message. Here's the passion.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes.
Our beloved Father dwelling in the heavenly realms, may the glory of your name be the center on which our lives turn. Manifest your kingdom realm. And cause your every purpose to be fulfilled on earth, just as it is in heaven. We acknowledge you as our provider of all that we need each day. Forgive us the wrongs we have done to ourselves. Release forgiveness to those who have wronged us. Rescue us every time we face tribulation and set us free from evil. For you are the King who rules with power and glory forever. Amen. That was so beautiful. I have a last one, and this is in your Bible. White beard in paradise.
May your name be kept holy. Let your kingdom come. Maybe somebody else can do a better pirate than me. Let your will be done. As in paradise, so on the high seas. Give us today our daily rations. Forgive us our debts, as our jolly crew also forgives our debtors. Bring us not into temptation, but deliver us from Davy Jones. For years be the high seas, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Yar.
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 Yep. Yeah. John was right asking to do it. I don't know if he's here, but if John was Dutton was here, I'd be like, you need to do this. You were born to do this.
I don't know why that made me go laugh so much. Oh, that was awesome.
Oh, praise the Lord. Miss Purdue. Yeah, I don't know. I just wanted to talk just really briefly, like, what our heart was for this thing. And I just, like, I don't know, Matt asked Paul and I if we could do a session or two, and we graciously and, you know, accepted. So thank you, Matt, for the honor to do such a thing for us. But also, you know, it's just like, I just was feeling like, whoa, like this group has gone so deep with the gospel. You guys are like, whoa, gospel heads. And you just like enjoy Jesus and you really like enjoy Papa and whoa, Son and Spirit. But I just feel like sometimes like the most dirt that's thrown at people in the Trinity, is the Father, right? Papa. And I think he's like almost like the most misunderstood. And there's just like so many things that are kind of like out of line with that. And I just was feeling in my heart, I just really wanted to talk about the good news of Papa. Because like who God is as Father is good news. It's like, it's not bad news. It's not sad news. It's not a mad news. And I don't know. I just wanted to start with like these two things. Like Matt said something, and then there's like a common meme on the right. And I just like wanted to start with those things. And so, I mean, like in the left right here, Matt said this, and I thought this is great. Abba is greater than the accuser. And then he says, Jesus introduced us to his Abba by the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can know the true, joyful, kind, happy, lighthearted, slow to anger, lover of humanity.
Ooh.
Rather than the critical, harsh, judgmental, quick to anger, accuser of the brethren. And then like on the right, I don't know if you've seen this meme, but it's been floating around a little bit. I never want my kids to mess up and think daddy's going to kill me. I want their first thought to be, I need to call my dad.
Mm.
And I feel like the church, like Abba's like the one that nobody wants to call. But like, I think there's a reformation happening in the church where we're starting to realize Papa's good and he loves us and he really cares about us. Like 8 years ago, I don't know if you guys remember this, but there was that song, like, he's a good, good father. He's a good, good father, you know? That you are, I forget the rest of the words, something like that. It just like, it was so interesting because it was such a stark difference between like what I'd heard in the church, you know, like at least in the charismatic church, like it's just like, God's good as dad. Dad's good. He's a good dad, you know, he's a good father. He's a good Abba. You know, he's a good papa. And so I just like wanted to talk about that a little bit. And there's like all these kind of like misunderstandings, I think, that are under the hood. And some of them are like kind of deep. And like Paul's really good at talking about deep stuff. And so I just like kind of wanted to like go over some of those things. I mean, you have any thoughts, Paul?
Wow. Yeah. I mean, this is, I mean, Matt Spinks knocks it out of the park here with this post. I mean, Ava greater than the accuser. You know, oftentimes I think we're like fabricating this God in our, this Abba, this Father, this God in the sky who's behind the back of Jesus. We've heard John Crowder say these things, but it's good because sometimes we, even though we've destroyed that idol of a God who points a finger and accuses us and who we wanna, you know, don't look upon me. I don't know if I don't want to get yelled at, or I don't want you to be harsh, judgmental, or quick to anger with me. But really, that's just an idol. That's just a false idea of God. There's actually a real God, as Sphinx is saying here, one who's full of joy, kind and happy and lighthearted and slow to anger, and an actual lover of humanity. And I think if we can like honestly take this message to heart and really bring everything to Daddy, Abba, to Papa God, to Father, and we really trust him, he says he'll do anything that we ask. So let's do that. Let's trust our dad. And I think it starts with this trusting relationship with the loving Father, not an accuser.
Yeah. Amen. I'm gonna hit the next one. Yeah, I don't know, like I just wanted to go through some of this stuff, and I don't know, Paul, just feel free and jump in, and other people, if you guys have like a comment too, at the end, I'd love to like have comments and questions and just whatever, you know, just whatever, shoot the shingles, talk about some things. But let's read some Saint Athanasius the Great.
Wow.
It would be more godly and true to signify God from the Son and call him Father than to name him from his works, name God from his works alone and call him unoriginate. Yeah.
Mm. I think our next slide is going to help us, but let me just give a preliminary thought here. It would be more godly and true to signify God from the Son and call him Father than to name God from his works alone and call him unoriginate. It's not as difficult as this, you know, church father speak can sometimes be, you know, unoriginate, signify, you know, he's actually making a big play on words here, similar to what Matt Spinks did. But this right here, Maddie B, if you want to kind of tie in St. Athanasius's comment, you made a perfect slide for it.
Yeah, well, thank you, sir. I think, like, we're going into deep theology. We're going into the deep waters right here. You know, like, you look in the left-hand corner, it says, you know, this is from TFT's The Trinitarian Faith, Chapter 2. I mean, we're in deep waters here, but we're trying to do this so simple, right? Because it really isn't that complicated. It's so simple because, like, Western culture, which is primarily based on the Greeks, the Latins, and philosophy, has really, like, it's like embedded in the culture, and it's like this unseen thing. Like, we don't talk about what Plato said like 100 years ago, or not 100 years ago, like 3,000 years ago. We don't talk about what Aristotle said. We don't talk about like these guys, but the undercurrent of their thinking is the resonance throughout all of Western culture. So, like, if you study like philosophy, And then you study, like, let's say the American justice system or capitalism, or you study like all these people, these philosophers throughout history. There's a resonance through a lot of them. And then there's a resonance within society itself. So even though, like, Thomas F. Torrance, he's talking about, you know, he's talking about St. Athanasius the Great and his, like, response to the sophists and his response to, like, Neoplatonism and all this stuff. Like, almost none of that matters on some level. But it does matter on this level that we're still kind of dealing with most of the same problems. Right? We're still dealing with the same problems. That's basically what it is. And it comes from this model on the left, right? And this model on the left makes a lot of assumptions, like creation. It goes, you know, you look at creation, and by looking at creation, and using our own mind, our own intellect, our own understanding, we come up with an idea of who God is. And John Crowder does it so well. He calls us the God contraption, but he, you know, he adds some things that are really cool to that too. But the Bible, and we read this in Hebrews chapter 1:1-1:4 at the beginning, right? It says that the Son is the manifest glory of the Father, is the glory of God, right? He's the exact imprint of his image, right? So we get to know who God is, the Father, by looking at the Son, right? So on the left, hey, Paul, do you mind advancing it forward one slide? Just
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Yeah, it'll...
drunk slides. There we go.
So I mean, we're adding a little bit more detail to this, right? So on the left, we have these vague ideas about who God is, and we just, like, make up crap. Like,
yeah,
that's kind of the history of Western culture. Is like, there's like a lot of made up stuff. Let's just be honest. It's mythological. It's made up. It's philosophical. Sometimes it's theological. And I'm not saying that it's doesn't have some value. I think there's possibly some value with it. I personally haven't found value, but I think there's possibly some value in this. But what ends up happening is you have this God who's, like, vague, fearful, apart, because it starts on a set of presumptions that, like, are kind of meaningless, right? And so that's kind of like the starting place for a lot of people and their view of who the Father is. They think God's an angry judge. Like, you could talk to so many people about that. Or they think that God's a slave master. Like, he's just gonna, like, don't become a Christian. You're going to have to be a slave. Like, he's going to, you know, you're going to just have to do a bunch of things. Or they think that the Father is just far away, like, and impersonal. He's like the clockmaker. He made a clock that's the universe. And then he stepped back and said, I did a good job. I'm done. But none of those things really reveal who God the Father is. And they are actually not what Scripture talks about. Yeah, feel free to jump in.
Sorry. Yeah, excuse me. I think that, just to maybe round this out, let's take this to Scripture for a second. In Acts, we all know about Acts 17, right? Mm-hmm. Paul is talking to the those in Ephesus, right, at the that big auditorium for Greek thinking, where everybody goes to learn a new thing. You guys remember this? And Paul notices all of their idols and all of the different gods that they worship and pray to, and he points out their devotion, their worship, and he says, let me talk to you about this God. And now he didn't go and choose a God that was already named. He didn't choose a God that already had an image formed by any of these different people. He went and said, this God right here, I noticed you had this little area where it said, to the unknown God. And I feel that Paul is preaching to them through that. And I feel like that's what Maddie B is trying to say. This creation, like, hey, there are fingerprints of a creator. Therefore, who is this creator? Or are there multiple creators? Is there a God? Is there a God who runs the sea? Is there a God who runs the air? And then a God who runs the sun? And then the God who runs the stars? And then a God who runs fertility? And that is kind of what we think of as finite creatures, if we're honest with ourselves, when we actually take our philosophical thinking caps and we tighten them on and we get our nice button-up shirts and we try to find out where we came from and if there is a beginning and who was there and who started it, right? We make up all these ideas. But Paul is saying, no, I am going to deliver you what Maddie B has graciously put on the right side of this beautiful slide, the unknown God, the one who you cannot know through creation alone, the one who, when you look in the reflection of that a mirror or the lake or the water, right, when you look in and you see your reflection, that God that you were made in the image of, the Son, the Lord, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So Maddie B, I don't know if you want to hop into the right side of the slide here now.
Yeah, I'd love that. Just to piggyback on what you're saying is there's this and I'll get to that. The mythological, right? So that's one of the sides that Paul's talking about. There's the mythological that we're just making up all these gods. Then there's the dualistic, which is like Plato and Aristotle, that says that God is infinitely distant from humanity, or there's somehow the spiritual is like separate from the natural or the body, right? So you have those splits. You see that in Nestorianism and Arianism too, right? So like even in the church, like it's the same issues that keep on coming up over and over and over in the Western church is because we can't, the Trinity is so beautiful and so wonderful that, and it's so personal, like very personal. And it's almost like very far from the human imagination, you know, who God is, you know? And so like we have these negative senses of God, who God is. So like, you know, like, I mean, a lot of these guys, they're what they say is like, God is not like other people. He's not human or whatever. But then you have in Jesus, God becoming man.
Whoa.
Positively who God is. Because we can see Jesus Christ, right? He tells us who Papa is. He shows us who God is. There's a God of infinite distance, right? And delay possibly in this unoriginate God. And then within the Son, within Jesus, he upholds all of creation by the word of his power. Mm-hmm. And then he as God, as Son, he becomes man incarnate. The creator steps into his creation, right? And shows us that the God of all creation wants to be close to his creation. He doesn't want to be far away. And in fact, he dies for his creation, breaking the barriers in our minds between God and man. And then there's like these precision issues. Like if you want to like just look, like sit in your room and meditate on who God is without looking at Jesus, like how many directions can you go with this? Like, you know, the Greeks that came up with the pantheon. We talked about the Zeus and all that. You can go up with, you know, Hindus, you know, they have kind of a pantheon. You can have like a Platonic, Aristotelian kind of thing. You can have like the unmoved mover who's like moving creation. You can have like the Descartes thing. We're not sure if he's God's like an evil demon or not. You know, like you could just keep on imagining all of these thoughts about who the Father might be. Just no clue. Just shooting from the hip. Pow, pow, pow. In every direction. Pow, 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 pow. And just not hitting. Not hitting at all. Like zero hits. Sorry, guys. You guys are 0 for 10, you know, or 0 for a million, right? But Jesus, he reveals precisely who the Father is. I and the Father are one, right? So when you see Jesus, you see the Father. So we have a precise, or, you know, Torrance loves this word scientific, so I kept it in there. We have a precise way of looking at who God is. Yeah. And so and then we have a personal thing, right? Right? Like the God of all these other forms of religion that we love to create, right? We don't, you know, like there's like the clockmaker, right? You know, who just creates creation and steps away, you know? He's the clockmaker. He made the universe. Now he's doing whatever he's doing now. He's on his onto his next project, you know? Right? Right. And we don't know how close or far he is. You scream out into the void and hope that Papa will respond to you because he's so far away working on his next clock. But then you have the personal God that's revealed in the Son, who goes down for the to help the very people who want to kill him. He's sent to the people that don't like him. Show them that the love of the Father goes beyond their hatred, even for him. And he comes in a personal way. He weeps. He becomes a human. He bleeds. He carries all of the infirmities of humanity, suffering in every way like us and as us. He's as personal as you can get. And then the center of thinking within the self, this is like one of those ones that it may take you a second to like get this one, but this is like if you want to go from that, like you want to just take it up a notch in the glory. Just take a big old fat hit. This is one of those fat hit ones. In the world we way of thinking, in this Hellenistic, philosophical, you know, Western, if you want to use that word, I hate using it because I feel like it's starting to get ridiculous sometimes, people using that word so often. But anyways, ways of thinking, it's within self. I'm the one who can think about God. I'm the one who understands God. I'm the one who can figure God out. I'm the one who can like study it through. Okay, look where that got you. You know, you have all these gods that are gods of your imagination, right? Gods of your imagination, you know? Now, this is what they call the theological way of thinking. I would say it's, you know, Pauline or Hebraic too. But we think not through our thoughts, but through the mind of Christ. We don't think about who God is based on how I personally, as Matt, think God should be. I let the Holy Spirit mediate Jesus to me. I start learning who Jesus is in the scripture and through the word of God. The very word of God shares with me who the Father is. and it's mystical, and it's thinking outside of yourself, but in Jesus. Jesus is the center of the universe. Abba is the center of the universe. Holy Spirit is the center of the universe. We can trust that they want to reveal who they are to us, and we don't have to figure it all out.
Whoa. Whoa.
Wow. Hey, Paul, you want to hit the next one up, and feel free and jump in whenever.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like there's a, what is it? It's called patragogy. You know what I'm trying to say, Maddie B? Patragogy. It's where we grow in our understanding of God, where he started with the fall, caused this rift in which wrong thinking was, you know, handed down to humanity through Adam and Eve's shame, right? And through that, then God has to communicate himself to us in our darkness. And so throughout the biblical history, we see a God who is first spoken of to, you know, Cain and Abel as they present their sacrifices to God. We then see Noah being called and Enoch walking with the Lord. We see Abraham being called. And then from Abraham, we see Isaac and Jacob, and then the nation of Israel, in whom God adopts as his own son. He calls them out of all the nations of the world and says, you are my son. I am going to free you from this slavery to Egypt. And that God adopts them. This God, our God, that the God of the Old Testament is all of our God, but he had to somehow speak to us in our darkness. And in doing so, he didn't pick the best and the brightest. He didn't say, you know what, those pharaohs are sitting on some good, nice golden thrones. They're sitting at the top of their towers of knowledge. They have all this stuff figured out. No, he said, I'm going to choose the lowest of lows. I'm going to choose the slaves who night and day work for these pharaohs. I'm going to choose the lowliest to show my power and to show my fatherhood and my sovereignty over the worlds and over the nations. And so he starts communicating himself there. As he has through that time with Noah and Abraham and the fathers, he now finds himself as the father of an entire nation. Leads them out. And through that leading out, he promises the promised land. We see him coming down and speaking face to face with Moses until finally all of that makes all the Old Testament makes its ultimate sense in the incarnate Lord. When we see John the Baptist jumping in Elizabeth, his mother's belly, as the Ark of the New Covenant, Mary, which holds the very God of the world, presented in front of him in his mother's womb. He couldn't help but jump for joy, that prophet that points to the one who will be slain, that great Lamb of God, that one who's been promised and talked about through the ages, has now made himself known, and all of the world is witness. As the Magi come, the stars proclaim, the heavens proclaim, the angels yell out, the wise men from the east come, and there in the lowliest of place, in a manger, no room at the inn, again meeting us in his lowly, humble servant body as a child, communicating to us what we can only receive through that same childlikeness that he came in. Oh, shabba, baba, bobo, 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 bobo. Oh, I just got a little bit of fire there, a little ha sha sha da 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 on that one. Oh, ha ha.
Yeah, this is a really simple slide. I mean, you guys have seen this. You guys have seen the little Trinity thing, the little fidget spinner.
Trinity fidget spinner.
Love it. A little fidget spinner. It's not really a fidget spinner, but Yeah, I mean, it's just so simple, right? And I mean, but it's just worth saying. Abba's love goes into the spirit. Abba loves spirit. Abba is in love with the spirit. The spirit is in love with Abba. Father loves son. That's daddy's little boy. Son loves father. And there's a mutual indwelling of love. They indwell each other so much that they're one, right? You guys have heard this so many times, but I think it's just not talked about because the other model is sometimes blocking our vision, you know? The other model is not really there. Hey, Paul, could you flip it to the next one?
Absolutely.
And in the smack center of all of this is us, the world, the universe, all that stuff. So the Father's love that penetrates the Son and penetrates the Spirit is penetrating throughout all of time and space. All created matter is penetrated by the love of the Father to the Son and to the Spirit and the Spirit to the Father and the Son to the Father. All of time and space is penetrated by the love of God.
Oh.
And this is the Trinitarian vision. It's not that God that somebody imagined that's distant and far away. The love of God is towards you in every sort of way. He's for you. He's for you. He's for you.
Yeah. Yes. Well, you know, there was never a time when the Father was just God, and there wasn't a Son. There's never a time when the Spirit was not, and the Father and the Son were. At all times and in every way, God was complete, whole, and full in himself as three persons in an undivided yet distinct union. Three persons, one being, three persons. There's always been a Father who loves the Son, and a Son who receives that love and loves the Father, and they share that love in the union of the third person in the Trinity, the Spirit.
Cool. Yeah, I love that. I want to this is kind of complicated right here, but I'm just going to make it so simple, like dead simple, because our image of the Father is so whack sometimes, maybe not yours, but mine has been. Maybe I'm just preaching to the choir. Maybe I'm just preaching to myself. But like, there's this monarchical version of who the Father is. Father's king, right? Daddy's king, right? And some of that's, I think, accurate. I mean, he's called Father Almighty in the Creed, right? Creator of heaven and earth, right? That's accurate. But is our version of what that is accurate? Are we seeing Daddy like, I don't know, a Roman Caesar? Are we seeing Daddy like a judge with a gavel? Are we seeing Daddy like basically impersonal and power hungry and ready to strike you dead or ready to judge you or ready to ignore you? Just as
the powers that be appear to be. And that's not the God of our loving Jesus. Jesus is the image of the Father. And whenever we want to judge Daddy, make certain you look and see whether it aligns with Jesus. Is that how Jesus acts? Like, is Jesus going to strike you dead? Is he like personal, impersonal? Is he far away? Is he distant? Is that who he is? Or is Jesus the perichoretic son of love? Is he the kenotic, self-emptying lover of the human race? Kenotic meaning self-emptying. Is he the cruciform God of love, meaning that the way that we can understand God the best is on the cross? And is that, does the Father line up with any of that? Does your version of Daddy line up with those elements? And so this section really set me free. Now, it's kind of complicated, and we can kind of go through it if you really want to go through it, but let's get in a contemplative stance, right? And like hear with the ears of the Spirit. Ears of the Spirit. And it's not important that you get every word. When you read certain theology, you don't have to get every word. Just get some of it, you know? And enjoy, like, I enjoy, you know? We know God strictly in accordance. Oh, this is Thomas F. Torrance, Christian Doctrine of God, chapter 8, right? We know God strictly in accordance with his nature. Then, when our knowledge of him is governed by the nature of Jesus Christ, as he is made known to us in the gospel, there is no way of knowing the sovereignty or almightiness of God by going behind the back of Jesus Christ. For there is no God but he who is immutably this God and Father, whom we know in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is through him, the one and only Son of the Father, that we can know the Father. Hey, Paul, can you hit it forward?
Yes.
Within this Trinitarian perspective, the power or almightiness of God is revealed to be essentially personal, defined by God's triune nature and being as Father, Son, and Spirit. This personal power of God is not power that overrules the creature, but sustains the creature. But sustains the creature. This personal power of God is not power that overrules the creature, but sustains the creature. Not power that negates the freedom of the creature. Not power that negates the freedom of the creature, but the power of the love that God is. Power, therefore, that sustains the relation and freedom of the creature before God. For it is always creative and in relation to his human creatures, always personalizing and humanizing power. It is essentially being, constituting, creature constituting power. Hence, when we confess in the creed belief in God the Father Almighty, we believe that the almightiness of God and the almightiness of God the Father, God's almightiness and God's fatherhood, inhere in one another and are as such intrinsically
an undeviatingly personal, within the fullness of personal being in the Holy Trinity. God, as Father, loves you and wants to affirm you. That's how He is Father Almighty. He affirms His creation. He says, "You are my very own." He says, "I love you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. In you, I see no flaw. You are beautiful." And that's the God of Jesus Christ. Not this other God. Daddy is not an accuser. He's not an abuser. He strengthens. He empowers. He hugs.
Whoa. Oh. Whoa. Yeah, something that I think is important to always consider in this dynamic of, you know, God and us, is that as Father to the Son in the Spirit, He is whole and complete. He made us freely and out of love, not out of necessity, not because He was lacking something in Himself. So I'm going to create these creatures and they better act right. Otherwise, this whole family's screwed. That's not God. That is not even close. God said, "I'm full. I'm complete. I got it all. Trust me, the Son is good." And the Son's like, "No, Daddy, you're good." And the Spirit's like, "No, you both are good, aren't you?" And they're just like, "Oh, we're so good. We're so loving. This is awesome. This is great. We gotta share this with someone, with persons. Let's share this with some persons. But also in sharing it, let's hold their freedom so that they can love us as we freely love each other." And I think that's the dynamic that the Father most wants with us. He wants free children. And He holds space by being merciful, loving, and forgiving the whole time. He never turns His back because He's never disappointed. You can't upset Dad. He's not going to get upset. He's just going to say, "Let me help you up. You've fallen. Let's get you back up on your feet. We're going to get through this together because I'm most happy when you're happy." The glory of God and the glory of a human being is the glory of that human fully alive in God. When we are in Christ, living out that adopted sonship, that family reunion, as we would say, as our eyes and our heart open up to the reality of God's acceptance and love, that's when we go, "Whoa, you've always been here. And I have a purpose. And my purpose isn't to perform an acrobatic trick of 600 laws. No, I'm here to be loved on. And then through that, man, God, I love you. I love you, Abba Father. I love you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you."
Yeah, Paul, do you mind going to the group view? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Oh, shing a ding ding. Yeah, I don't know. I just wanted to also just share with you guys just like what maybe some personal thoughts, you know. Well, thanks for showing your faces, Jennifer and Andrew, and thanks for being here, everybody. Oh, shing-a-ding-dings. Yeah. You know, yeah, just like, I mean, like to me, this whole thing with God as Father has been a journey. Like it's not been like this, like instant thing, like, oh yeah, I just get it and I love it. Yeah. That's not been my experience. Maybe that's your experience, but that's not been mine. I mean, I just have always loved the Holy Spirit. Like that's been my experience. Always loved the Holy Spirit. Always felt like at home with the Holy Spirit. And with Jesus, I really like started to really like love Jesus like a lot. You know, I mean, he's my first love, but like daddy is just like, it's like weird. Like there was, I mean, it just felt like God is like a, either a slot machine, like daddy's like a slot machine. You like, you pray, right. You put the quarter in, you do your tithe or whatever. And bam, you know, we're going to get the slots, you know, that's like how daddy works. Right. You know, it's like this random chance. You put the tithe in, you pull the thing, you're going to get, and there's like no relationship there. You know, and the other way that I looked at dad is just like, kind of like, you know, like when I grew up, I had like a lot of trouble, like with dad, like he was just like my personal father, and don't tell him this, but I just, you know, he's just like, he's just kind of hard to deal with as a person, like not necessarily close, you know, oh, hi, Beck. You know, not necessarily close, you know, I loved him. I love him to death, but like, just, you know, just kind of not close person, you know? And so my image of the Father wasn't the Trinitarian vision, even if I understood some of that, you know? And so like about maybe 3 years ago or 4 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, 2 years ago, a friend gave me a prophetic word. And she said that like, you don't hear Abba's voice, and you might find it hard to hear him as dad, but you're going to be able to hear him. And that was kind of hard because somebody called me out like that. Maybe not nice. Not my favorite type of word. Let's just be honest. That's on a scale of 1 to 10. That was maybe a 3, you know, maybe a 4. But it was true, I think, you know, but something started working in me, and I don't know, I feel like God wants to make himself known. And part of this journey is just reconciliation. It's like, we don't see dad right. We don't see spirit right. We don't see Jesus right. And the Trinity is working in our minds and our hearts just so that we get back into that communion, you know, and that's heaven on earth, is to be in communion. Well, Paul, you have any thoughts?
Yeah. I'm kind of similar with you, Maddie B. I come from a divorced home. You know, I think I don't remember much from my elementary years, you know, so I don't kind of probably trauma blocked a lot of that. So I don't, you know, but, and I have a healthy relationship with my father now, you know, and my mom, and a lot of that came with me becoming a dad myself. So that I could realize, hey, guess what? We're not perfect. And I was having unrealistic expectations on my personal father, my dad, you know, and my mom, and what they were actually going through as human beings, as adults, that I am now experiencing myself and going through myself. So similar to the grace that I learned to have for my own parents, I feel I learned to have that same grace for my heavenly father, because I know when I was going through the divorce, I thought I was the problem. At least that's what I overheard my parents fighting about in the other room. Well, who's going to take them to there? Well, you going to pick them up or what? Or when are we going to have that? Or you're going to spend time with them? I got this to do, or I got to go to work. And man, these kids are just so much, you know, and you just hear these, as a kid, you hear these things. You know, and I struggle myself being the father that Abba is. And not that I have to be. Thank God I'm his son just as much as my children are his son. His sons and daughters, you know, I don't have to be, but there's something in me that calls me to bear that image and likeness of a loving father that I've seen God to be now. And so that's healed my relationship with my own dad. It's healed the relationship that I have with my children because I've allowed God in. I said, you know what, God, I need a father. I need someone to love me. I need someone to meet me. Please. If not you, then who? Who is going to meet me right now? And it was by the grace of God, the call of the Holy Spirit to give me eyes to see the cruciform love of God in Christ. His arms stretched on the cross for me, a sinner, that allowed me to see God more clearly and allowed me to see my situation more clearly, that it's not my picture on the wall anymore. I don't point to myself. I don't point to my dad or my great granddad. See him up there. He was an alcoholic and abused just like my dad, just like I do to my kids. See, look at us. No. Now it's look at Jesus in that picture. Take a second and look at him. Look at his love as he sits at a table with criminals, outright criminals, the vagabonds, fishermen, prostitutes, the worst of the worst. And he says, "This is my body. Broken for you. And this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for the forgiveness of sins. Take this, eat. Your family here. God is breaking bread with his children, not beating them over the head." And that has completely changed my life and continues to and will. As I experience that relationship with him and allow it to penetrate my relationships with others.